Machete Mate recognizes the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and any indigenous elders of other communities who may be listening today. We stand in solidarity in their struggle towards the colonization and land back. Buenas, mi gente. What is good? Machete Mate. Sort of current events, kind of the Chile exclusive, the Chile post-election exclusive, where our boy Gabriel Boric came through and win.
That's right.
Marking an end to Pinochetismo. Who knows? We'll see how we go. But before we get into it, shout out to our compas oficiales, all the homies who have come along for the ride, have stayed along for the ride. Obviously, us being us, knowing how we are, you know, we're always going to be up and down with our content. but love all of you who stick around and support us. Speaking of which, we just released the other day, yesterday, 2 days ago, whenever it was, like time's fake anyway, our cola with the fine comrades at Hot Girl Agenda. That was a super dope conversation. We talked about shit that we talk about all the time, but from a different perspective, right? We talked about indigeneity, being a diaspora kid, being perceived as foreign in your homeland because of some weird blood quantum bullshit. We talked about, you know, Catholicism within our various Latin American upbringings and stuff like that. And like, I think T said it the best. I think one of the things that I took out of that is that all our experiences are different, but they rhyme. Not too unsimilar to Mark Twain's quote of, you know, history doesn't repeat itself.
That is where he rhymes. Stole it from.
I knew that 100%. I listened to tons of history too. Like,
look, I actually read it in a book. So yeah, that means
fuck you,
fucking nerd, motherfucker reading books.
nerd alert.
Nah, but definitely check it out. Like, it's I know. I probably speak for the other boys, for the other two, that it was a really humbling conversation because it was such a different perspective, but it was the same. Like, if that makes sense. Again, like, it's different, but it definitely rhymes. And it was good to see, I mean, I don't know if good's the word, but it's interesting to see how the history of Spanish colonization and then U.S. colonization has affected all of our lives in a very similar way. And for me, it's the tip of the iceberg. This is probably the first of many conversations.
It was an honor and a privilege to talk to people who really, you know, who bring together the theory and the practice. They're both, you know, organizers, as well as content producers, the show. So it's always great to get someone who not just talks the talk, but walks the walk. It was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I think one positive for us as well is we unironically talk about, like, joke around, like, oh, this is a dude's rock podcast, but this is a dude's rock podcast. So having like not dudes, you know, having that conversation is always, I guess it's humbling, sort of puts us in our place, gives us a perspective. And also, like, Jesse and Ra Ra both come from different sort of ideological backgrounds than say we do. Like, definitely having the different perspective, different ideological backgrounds, but it's still coming to the same conclusions is very, 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 anyway, what I'm trying to get at is check out the conversation. Super, 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 super dope. And like I said, we had a whole list of things we wanted to talk about and we didn't even scratch the surface. So definitely going to be the first of many, hopefully. And it's super, 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 super dope. Anyway, I'm Leroy, coming from NARM in so-called Melbourne, Australia. Here again with the homies T. What's good, T?
How's it going?
And then, of course, and unfortunately, Austin.
God, fuck you guys. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Actually, yeah, no, I'm not. Here. I'm not happy to be here, damn it.
Nah.
I should just leave right now.
Anyway, just shut up. Let me do my thing. Anyway, quick vibe check. I know I'm running on fumes. T, what's good, man?
I'm chilling, you know. I am while my job is much easier than the hell place I was before, it is still a sales job and it is still retail and it is still the holiday season. So, you know, it's the busy time. So I've been kind of like tapped out after work. But you know, feeling good. You know, it's just the news out of Chile, out of the region. It's such an incredible contrast with the news going on here in the United States with our latest plague wave. It's just, it looks like it's going to be another fun fucking winter and spring in the plague that never ends.
Yeah, definitely. How about you, Austin? What's good, man?
Well, you know, hanging in there, right? Living the dream. Been busy as shit all fucking week, all fucking month, all fucking year, right? I'm in the moment where, like, I feel this is probably going to be our last podcast of the year, or I don't know, maybe not, maybe second to last, right? And I'm just thinking, wow, what an insane year it's been, right? Guys, just think about every, like, Peru, Venezuela, we're about to talk about Chile. You remember Ecuador? I feel like I've aged 20 years since we were talking about Ecuador, like, with everything that's happened since then. Think about that. That was this year. Like, do you think about that shit? Like, that's insane to me. Like, I'm just in a place where I'm like, once again, taking stock of all the amazing things. You know what really blows my mind when I think about this year? When Molly was on the podcast. That was this year. Yeah. When Blanca was on the podcast. That was this year. I feel like all that shit was like once again, decades ago. So, like, once again, I'm just taking stock of what we've been able to, like, do on the podcast this year and just in general. So, like, once again, I wish I had, like, better co-hosts, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, I suppose. But, yeah, you guys will do for now, I guess.
I guess.
What about you, Leroy? I know you've had quite a time the last, like, 24 hours, especially.
Yeah, the last 24 hours, 22 hours, the last 2 weeks. Like I was saying in a little group chat, like, my last 2 weeks could make up a 10-part, like, After Dark special, because it's just been, you know what I mean, you know, getting fired from my job a week before, you know, Ernie's birthday, 2 weeks before Christmas. Ernie was sick, so we had to take him to the hospital last night, and that was an entire fucking comedy of errors, to the point where, like, I almost hit a kangaroo on my way home. Like, it's my life's a fucking joke, but I'm going to become the Joker just because of, like, the last 2 weeks. But in saying that, the silver lining is I don't have to deal with Christmas time customers. I don't have to deal with Boxing Day. I do have plenty of time, you know, to spend with Ernie and my garden, whatever. It's a hell of a lot less money. That's stressful, but look, like, you can't pay for time. You know what I mean? And, like, that's what I'm getting at the moment. And
time's not real.
And I just gotta say, T, it's always a pleasure and honor to be here with you on the show. So I'm glad to see you again.
Likewise.
I know, because Austin's your little brother. He has to tag along and join, but I have a little brother too. I love him to bits, but, you know, it does get annoying sometimes. So I feel you. Anyway, let's keep the shit show rolling, because this is going to get off track. Let's keep the shit show going. Anyway, we're here to talk about Chile. There's our boy, Gabriel Boric. The dude who's, like, my age and T, your age. Like, what the fuck are we doing with our lives? You know, like, literally, he's our age. Massive victory in Chile. Like, it's hard to properly articulate what this represents, not only for Chile, what it means for the region, what it means for the hemisphere, what it means for fucking, like, history. Like, you know what I mean? When we talk about revolution being a process, or building socialism being a process, or fighting fascism being a process, this is proof of that. You know, this is literally 50 years in the making. You know what I mean? And again, I want to emphasize the word process, because this was merely an election of someone that we'll have many, many, many policy critiques of, many, many ideological critiques of. But what this is a repudiation of Pinochet. And that is the number one priority of our fucking show. You know what I mean? Like, it's shit like this is the reason, like, we exist, right? It's at the core of, like, a lot of our ideology. Fighting fucking fascism in the region and counteracting imperialism, colonialism, fucking neoliberalism, and all this fucking free market capitalism that destroys our nuestro pueblo in the region. You know what I mean? And again, speaking of which, massive, massive boon to the Mapuche community, Rapa Nui community, all the indigenous Chileans, all the Black Chileans, and all the disabled Chileans as well. Massive, strong on that. A massive boon to women's rights and reproductive rights and everything as well. So, what else can I say? Who wants to kick Austin? I'm sure you have fucking thoughts on this shit. As Austin chews his food, he's wiping his mouth now.
Don't worry, I'll edit this out. Hold on, sorry.
No, leave it in. Nah.
Yeah, definitely leave it in. Gotta have the sound.
If I'm producing, that means I'm gonna make sure my shit is good, and yours both suck. So anyways, yeah, I always do that. Anyways, so I always think to myself, okay, let me leave Leroy and T's awkward pauses in and get rid of mine. Anyways, okay. Get a swig of this Red Bull. Get me some energy.
Fucking hell, bro.
Hey, you don't worry. It's worth the wait. Don't worry.
Bro, we should just keep like talking so he can't cut it out. 55-44 was a victory. Massive win.
Okay. So, Leroy, you touched upon a lot of different things that I'd love to like expand upon a little bit there. Like a lot of different things that we could go deep on. I think what's so important to remember or to keep in mind here is perspective, right? Keep a little bit of perspective, right? Where did this happen? In Chile. What is Chile, right? To people in the United States, right, as we've joked about in the past, who don't know much about Latin America or South America, they might just think of Chile as the country that is very oddly shaped geographically, right? Wow. But Chile is a lot more than that, right? Chile is one of those countries in Latin America that I would say it is its perception is as one of those more quote unquote like nice or pleasant places, right?
It's the Switzerland of South America, right?
Yeah, which of course in racist Latin American terms just means there's a lot of white people there, right? Or at least this is a country that is very much a settler colonial state in its more raw forms, I would say, right? I'm sure the Mapuche would agree with that, right? Chile is a country whose founding father was a guy named Bernardo O'Higgins, right? You know, Chile, from its very inception, had a very unique history with respect to the rest of the countries in South America, right? Chile is a country that, you know, it's not uncommon to hear places and to hear people from other places in South America, like in like the Andean region, like Colombia or Venezuela, in northern South America, once again, look at Chile as one of those places as, ah, this is an example of a respectable country, right? Chile was the country that won the War of the Pacific, right? Beat Bolivia and Peru and took its territory. Chile, a regional power, right? Chile, a country where people like Jose Antonio Cast fancy themselves to be like a quote unquote European nation, right? This is the kind of culture that is very dominant within Chile, right? I think this is an important perspective for a lot of different reasons. I almost look at Gabriel Boric almost like Bernie Sanders-esque, right? Almost like this is one of the best things you're going to get within this political culture and within this political system, right? Just like Bernie Sanders, very similarly in the United States. I don't think Chilean social democracy is very dissimilar from U.S. social democracy, right? I think they're very similar traditions. I think they both look to Europe rather than like Latin America for the most part. And I think that's a lot of where like Chilean social democracy comes from. And a lot of it is like culturally influenced, I would say, right? So I think perspective is very important when we discuss this, right? Another bit of perspective, right? What has Chile, as you touched upon, Lyric, you mentioned this being like 50 years of, you know, struggle, which is very important, right? Chile, my God, like we talk about Allende, right? We talk about Pinochet, right? We talk about, you know, the people that were like killed, Pinochet, you know, the helicopters and all that stuff. Let's not forget, you know, and we also talk about the Chicago Boys and all that bullshit, but let's not forget Chile was like, it was the right wing, like symbol, right? And not just in South America, in North America, in the United States, right? It was the right wing symbol, like, ah, you see the example of this is how like raw, unfiltered capitalism is the way forward. And you see, oh, even the water's privatized. Hell yeah, this is amazing, right? We love Chile. the pension system is privatized. Exactly. Yes, the Chilean miracle tea, like things like that, right? You know, and like I always remind people, and I've said this so many times on the podcast, when CELAC was founded, the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, right? The organization that's all of Latin America and the Caribbean. There were two honorary, like, co-chairs or co-presidents or whatever. Hugo Chavez, right? And Sebastian Piñera. And there was a reason for that. That was, like, the polar opposites, right? Chavez, the scion of the left. Piñera, the fucking golden boy of the right wing. That's why I always call him the right wing golden boy, right? So now, to get at this place, where Gabriel Boric and Social Convergence, Apruebo Dignidad, blew Cast and the right wing out by over 10 points? that in and of itself is astonishing. That in and of itself is a massive, like, massive W, right? It's a massive step forward for politics in Chile and South America and Latin America, all that stuff. But even that, even when talking about that, even when factoring in all that context, I still think that's only scratching the surface, right?
Yeah.
Fundamentally, what you just said, Leroy, is correct. And this might piss people off when I phrase it like this. What we have seen is the culmination of a revolution, fundamentally. Fundamentally. What Chile essentially did was vote to officially become a plurinational state, right? Fundamentally. Why the fuck do I say that? What am I talking about? What do I mean, right? José Antonio Kast was running on a – it was very openly running as a Pinochetista, whatever the fuck we want to call it, right? José Antonio Kast was going to shred the constitutional assembly process in Chile, right? Fundamentally. He was going to roll all that shit back. Nothing was codified yet, right? Nothing had been decided upon yet. If he was elected president, he would have stopped all of that. Right. So let's get, you know, once again, some more perspective, right? The Constitutional Assembly process, right? Right now, Upward Dignidad has a strong presence within the Constitutional Assembly, right? The chair of the Constitutional Assembly, Elisa Loncon, I believe is her name, is Mapuche, right? The president of the assembly is Mapuche, right? So people looking at Gabriel Boric and like focusing on him as like the, oh my God, like, oh, well, what can he even do as president, right? Which I always push back on people who say those sorts of things and say, like, they frame it in a way as if like we're the electoralists, when I would say it's completely backwards. No, you guys are the ones that are putting all your stocks in electoral politics as if like one person is the end all be all, right? Things are much deeper than that. They're much deeper than that. With Gabriel Boric being elected president, he will be able to preserve that constitutional assembly process, right? He will be able to, the Chilean people now can guarantee the death permanently of the Pinochet constitution, right? It's already on its way. They're already shredding it as, you know, as we've said before, they're shredding it as we speak, right? With Boric as president, that essentially enshrines that process. This was the final step, the final test, right? How many votes have we covered, guys, as far as Chile throughout this whole process? This is like last year. You can go to old episodes when we were covering when the first assembly votes were happening, when they were voting to even have an assembly, when they were voting how we were going to decide who's going to be in the assembly, when they were deciding, okay, now who's going to represent the people that are going to be in the fucking assembly, right? And now we finally have that. That was the final piece, the general election. The final piece was the general election. Who is going to be president? Who will be able to like steward this process forward? And now that we have, once again, Gabriel Boric and Upward Dignidad officially in power, and we can, and there's a lot to unpack here. And guys, I'll yield the floor here to anybody else who has thoughts, because I could go on a little bit deeper into like, and I do plan to go a little bit deeper into like the actual politics of how Boric like relates to the Communist Party and Hadwe. And I've seen a lot of, oh my God, you know, Hadwe, you should have been the candidate, blah, blah, blah. I think there's a lot to unpack there that I'd like to unpack as also like Boric's actual policies, right? To unpack there. But I think first and foremost, the Constitutional Assembly, where they will march away from a settler colonial state to a plurinational state, is a critical, critical development.
I think, you know, I'll echo that point, Austin. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the number one most important outcome of Boric's victory is going to be the fact that the Constitutional Convention, with a majority of left delegates seated, will be allowed to continue their project. Now, let's not forget that this happens, you know, within the context of what, 5, 6, 7 years of intense social struggle in Chile, ranging from incredibly militant student protests and organizing, especially over the bus fares. That was one of the big kind of kickoff moments in the last few years. There have been labor strikes. There have been movements within the Mapuche and other indigenous communities as well. Kind of like, you know, once again, it's a similar situation to other countries in the region where they look at their, you know, other people and other, you know, other indigenous peoples in other countries and like, hey, we want that too, right? So there has been intense social struggle for the last few years. I mean, honestly, the last year has been so strange because if we look at the votes, you know, the convention gets seated, left-wing majority. let's not forget with the first round of votes, what that congressional election outcome came about, right? It gave a majority to the right. And that is the Congress that Gabriel Boric is going to be dealing with. Boric is going to be dealing with a relatively hostile Congress overall. Now, this doesn't take away from the fact that there are also, you know, left-wing politicians in power. You know, for example, the mayor of Santiago is from the Communist Party, right? Yeah, exactly. So, like, this is a very seesaw-type situation. And, you know, it's important not to, you know, lose sight of the fact that the right wing has a base there as well. I mean, yes, Boric won by 10 points, but 45% of the country was still willing to vote for a candidate as far right, as far to the right as Cast. Now, it's what the point I'm trying to I guess get across is that it's still a very fraught situation. This is crucial. I don't want to take away from that victory. And again, the best point, you know, best result might not even be, you know, Boric's potential with that Congress, so much as it's allowing the Constitutional Convention to fulfill its mandate.
Yeah. Oh, so absolutely. A lot of that I'd love to, like, follow up with there, right? You know, absolutely, right? It's, I mean, this is still, like, once again, this is why I mentioned, like, perspective, right? Just like if Bernie had won in the United States, it's still the United States, right? Boric won in Chile. This is still Chile, right? That hasn't changed anything, right? The right wing hasn't just suddenly disappeared. And I think it's important to, like, unpack, like, who the fuck that, like, right wing was, how Cast became, like, a thing to begin with and stuff like that. And, like, when we last recorded a current events, it was just like it was just after the first round, if I recall correctly. So we didn't really get the chance to talk about, like, the polling and how it got topsy turvy and how just a couple days before the general, shit was starting to look really scary. Right. And I remember I was hearing, like, I didn't want to, like, sell this too hard on our last podcast, but I was hearing a lot of frantic shit from people on the ground in Santiago. People saying, like, oh my God, like, after the results from the first round, Cast finishing in first, and, like, when you combine the totals of all the candidates, it is going to be close, and could be very, very bad, right? Because of how far right wing Jose Antonio Cast is. And, like, let's unpack why that is, right? I think, you know, just like you say, you know, T, there is obviously there's still a right wing in Chile. They're not just gonna fucking disappear. There was a massive reactionary backlash to the Constitutional Assembly process, right? There was a massive propaganda campaign to delegitimize it, right? A massive media campaign attacking the makeup of the Constitutional Assembly and what they were discussing. And it ultimately took the form of a figure like Jose Antonio Cast, right? Who was able to, like, channel this shit into, I mean, literally the son of a Nazi, like, let's be clear here, right? So, like, right. He was able to, like, channel this shit into, like, yeah, who was able to channel this shit into his campaign, right? And good God almighty, did things get close, right? Thank God to the homeboy Gael Garcia Bernal, right? That was fun, right? Pedro Pascal, right? This motherfucker came out, right? But to me, one of the most critical things, and it might make people sad, Michelle Bachelet. When she endorsed Boric, that was a big fucking moment, yo. Straight up, that was a big fucking moment.
What about the video of the dancing pigs and horses and stuff?
Yeah.
That's what they did for me.
Yeah. Also, but, yo, sorry, real quick, like, just for, like, people who might not know, Michelle Bachelet, right, former president of Chile, member of the Socialist Party, which is, like, yeah. It means as much as, like, a Socialist Party in Europe does, nothing, right? Michelle Bachelet, current, like, UN Human Rights Commissioner who, like, won't shut up about Venezuela or whatever. So, like, once again, when she came out, like, that was, like, a lot of, like, liberals in Chile, okay, you know, this is the signal, you know, we'll break for Boric, and that, like, it was a big part, I think, of what ended up putting him over, personally.
No, 100%. And I just want to go back to something that T, you were talking about, I think it was T or also one of you talking about, it's still Chile, there's still society, and talking about bringing it back to discussion about, like, Bernie Sanders. Like, one of the biggest differences, and the key, and something we really, really need to keep reiterating, is the key to all of this is the change in the Constitution. This is effectively the changing of society. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because for all DSA wanted to push, you know, Bernie Sanders, or the left in the U.S. wanted to push Bernie Sanders would still be presiding over a constitution written in fucking 1789. You know what I mean? And we talk about, and one thing that we're really big on is constitution in Latin America. We cover, you know, the plurinational constitution of Bolivia, right. Ecuador, you know, we're talking about, like, Chile here. And it's unthinkable that this process would ever take place in the United States. Like, we can be hopeful, but it's unthinkable for that to ever take place. So we can push as many left candidates as we want, but they'll still be presiding over a fundamentally, literally racist, enshrining slavery fucking document that's going to dictate everything in society. So again, like you said, Austin, like, it's going to piss people off, but this is within the context of a revolution, because revolution isn't like necessarily like, you know, the 1959 in Cuba, like guerrillas going through the fucking mountains. It's a change. It's a paradigm shift in society. Even if you want to talk about, you know, Boric is more of a liberal, he's actually center left or whatever, he represents the repudiation of fucking United States light, of neoliberalism, of like the project that upon which the United States is currently built on.
The key point is the Constitution and the attempt to rewrite it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that for the last 25 years, Latin American social movements, Latin American left-wing parties, Latin American labor and civil society groups have always pushed for constitutional changes that happen in Venezuela, it happens in Bolivia, it happens in Ecuador, right? This is another example of that. This is a sign that Chile or the Chilean people are trying, and it, from the looks of it, succeeding at moving into the 21st century. They're leaving aside, you know, 20th century right-wing ideologies, whether neoliberal or fascist, and potentially embracing a 21st century socialist model. Again, you know, maybe I'm, you know, getting grumpier as I age, but I care very, you know, it's the convention that matters most of all, and ensuring its mandate. It's not even about Boric. It's not even, because again, he is actually center left. If we're being real here. I'm even less like interested in, you know, what that Congress is going to, again, right-wing majority Congress is going to do. It's that convention, because the convention will make all things possible, or at least it advances the struggle a great deal.
Yeah. Just quickly, Austin, before you jump in, I think the key to that as well is, it's one thing to have a more conservative reactionary Congress with a conservative reactionary constitution than to have the same thing with a proper constitution. You know what I mean? Because the thing in Peru, what we're seeing, you know, basically Pedro Castillo, his entire thing collapsed because they still have the Fujimori constitution with a largely right-wing government. Like, that wouldn't happen if, you know, they have the balance of an actual proper, you know, dare I say, egalitarian constitution. You know what I mean? But I think that's the key.
Oh, man, took the fucking words right out of my mouth. I was about to pivot a little bit to Peru here and, like, do a little bit of compare and contrast, right? I think it's an interesting exercise here that we can, like, at least make to a certain extent, right? I think, oh, my God, when I look at everything that's going on in Peru right now, like, this is a whole different conversation in and of itself, right? And once again, this is another thing where, I don't try to sell these sorts of things because, you know, critical support. We love our pencil-waving, you know, profe, right? But, like, I've heard a lot of things on the ground in Lima that have been concerning, to say the very least, right? Obviously, after his falling out with Peru Libre and Vladimir Cerrón, and how Pedro Castillo has been very isolated, right? Now, literally just this week, Patria Roja, right? The Communist Party of Peru officially pulled out of the Juntos por Peru coalition. Like, things are not that. Yeah, exactly. Things are like a lot of like prominent leftist figures are still maintaining like support to Pedro Castillo, right? Like people like Guillermo Bermejo from Peru Libre, right? Sigurd Bazán and Chabelito Cortez, right? People from Nuevo Peru, right? The left is like doing its best to like stay united. But like, once again, the issues of like attempting to govern within a society that is built within that right-wing framework has been very difficult within Peru. But also what you're seeing is two very different things, right? Fundamentally, Pedro Castillo was a flash in the pan candidate that ran a fucking good campaign, fundamentally, right? This was the election of Pedro Castillo was not the result of decades worth of base building. The election of Gabriel Boric is 1,000,000% the result of decades worth of base building, right? Then these are fundamental differences here, right? Gabriel Boric, once again, you touched upon this earlier, T. Gabriel Boric was a student leader. To me, like, people are forgetting how poetic this is, right? Gabriel Boric started out really as a student leader in 2011 against who? Sebastián Piñera, right? Yeah. The motherfucker that he's about to take office from. Damn, that's amazing, right? Like, I love on Twitter the images of super young Boric, Giorgio Jackson, and Camila Vallejo, right? And like how like they've all like gone in their different ways to like the different, but like Giorgio Jackson's like a major member of Revolution Democratica now, and all the, and the Frente Amplio. Like, it's amazing, like, to see that stuff. Like, it's a beautiful, beautiful story, right? But it's also, once again, a story of translating street protest, or dare I say, let me phrase it this way, translating street power into state power, right? That's some heavy shit right there, I would argue, right? Translating spontaneous anger into something that is lasting change, right? That's what I look at, right? This is amazing. Like, I don't see how more people in the United States aren't looking at it from this angle. Looking at a protest that was led by high school students over subway fares, turned into shredding the Constitution and a fucking 35-year-old Tool fan becoming president. Come on. Like, there's a lot to unpack there. There's a lot to unpack there, right? And before I go on like a million different tangents, Leroy, go ahead.
Just quickly, we can't forget Allende's final speech, final transmission from La Moneda, when like the Air Force was bombing it. In that final transmission, he says, que vivan los estudiantes y que vivan los trabajadores de Chile. Like, long live the students and long live the workers. And then Pinochet took power. So this, like you said, is poetic. But Austin, I have one question for you. Now that we've seen this, you know, revolution take place in Chile, whatever, will there be civil liberties for the fascists?
Unfortunately, there will, and that's the problem. Okay, so actually, no, okay, so before we even go there, as far as like Boric's actual policies or whatever the fuck, I think that's the translation of street power into state power. Come on, guys, isn't that where it's all at? Isn't that what it's all about, right? Isn't that the question we constantly ask ourselves here in the United States, right? Like, T, when we were in Richmond seeing buses explode, right? How do we translate this into state power, right? Like, okay, we got the monuments down, right? How do we translate this into state power, right? What the fuck, right? I feel like that's a question, you know, leftists everywhere should be asking themselves, right? And so when I look at the example of Chile, once again, I see a movement that was able to like build through decades in the student movement, right? That was able to actually get to a place where they were actually able to challenge for state power, a militant indigenous movement that has struggled for generations, right? You would be hard pressed to find a more militant indigenous movement than the Mapuche, right? Just Google the Chilean campaigns against Araucania and the Mapuche. That's some of the most brutal genocide you'll find in all of South America, yeah. Right? And not just the Mapuche, like look in northern Chile, right? From the copper mines, the Aymara, right? These, you know, we often talk about, you know, I think you touched on this, Steve, like when we talk about Peru, like we shouldn't look at Peru as in isolation from Bolivia and Ecuador. Same with Chile. The Aymara are in Chile too. You think the Aymara in Chile are just like, oh, Bolivia, that's all. Oh, yeah, these borders are real. No, God damn it, right? They see what happened in Bolivia and they want to translate that there, right? So that's why like plurinationalism is once again the key to all of this, in my opinion. Like, my God, like the Bolivia's transition to a plurinational state, right? Ecuador's embrace of plurinationalism and like indigenous and movements and, you know, Buen Vivir and shit like that. That is key to all of this shit as far as I'm concerned. So to see Chile, motherfucking Chile, not just right-wing Chile, super duper conquistador Chile. I said it, God yeah. damn it. To see super duper conquistador Chile embrace plurinationalism, oh, come on. That's a huge historical development. Once again, Elisa Loncon, I'm about to Google this fucking name so I get it right. Elisa Loncon, who is the Mapuche president of the assembly. God damn it. That is some beautiful, beautiful shit. And once again, I could go on forever, but I know you guys are trying to. Yeah.
Nah, just quickly to Austin's point, T, what's that Kwame Ture speech you really like? We talks about the
there was you can find a video online of it labeled organization versus mobilization, but it's part of a longer talk that Kwame Ture used to give it was a part of a longer set of talks he gave towards the end of his life. Yeah, you can look it up online, mobilization versus organization. It's excellent. I think so. Now what, right? So now that we have a left-wing coalition in power, at least in the executive side, again, they have a solid presence in the National Congress, but it is divided with a slight favoring to the right wing. Again, that vote happened only a few weeks ago. That was part of the first round of voting in late November. So again, to illustrate how back and forth this has all been since then. So what's going to happen is two things immediately stand out to me. Number one, is this. Two institutions in Chile that a socialist government will have to deal with, right? social democrat, I don't care what you want to call it. Uh-huh. And that they both start with the letter P, the press and the police. Mm. Okay. Because the press and the police are going to be 100% hostile to degrees that people can't imagine. Now, why do I say the police? Now, we know the reactionary press in Latin America is just absolutely insane and does everything they can to sabotage any attempt at progress. I say the police because of the other thing that immediately stands out to me. The social conflicts in Chile that have been raging for the last 5 years don't just suddenly go away once the flags outside the presidential palace or and government buildings changes from, you know, to red, right? There's still going to be labor strikes. There's still going to be resistance at the street level, okay? So what happens now, the police, as an independent reactionary institution, is going to be pulling from one direction, and from the other direction is going to be the street power element, right? What happened in Ecuador that broke it, right? The party lost control of its base, or maybe not control of its base, lost links to its base. It lost that kind of that link, that back and forth with its base, right? Because of that, what happened? They were punished. They lost through a combination of treason, economic sabotage, and domestic reactionaries. But most importantly, they were not able to weather that storm because of that loss of that support from their base, from listening to their rank and file, right? Now, what does a socialist president do with police? What does a socialist president do with a military, especially in Chile, that is, you know, much like the Brazilian military in that they have fond memories within living memory. People who are senior officers now remember coming up under Pinochet, right? So they remember the privileges, they remember the power, and they remember the paranoid fear they had of an Allende. I tell you what, I do not envy Boric's position, is what I'll say.
I envy it. Power, baby. Go ahead, Leroy.
No, 100%. And like to that point, we need to remember, like, perhaps one of the most nefarious police forces in all of Latin America are the fucking Carabineros of Chile, who were established decades and decades ago, almost literally as almost like a stormtrooper type organization. Right. They are a deeply ideologically reactionary force. You join the Carabineros because you're a fucking fascist, you know, reactionary. And in the middle of all these protests and mobilizations over the last couple of years in Chile, it has been quite literally antagonization between the students, the protesters, the people on the streets, and the Carabineros who've been shooting motherfuckers in the face. People have lost eyes. There's a whole movement of like hundreds of people who like lost eyes, and like this video of Carabinero pushing people, like students, over bridges and shit. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. T. It's like joining ICE. If ICE was a like police force that just roamed the streets, that's what they are. And to go back and to quote something that like Maurice Bishop said in one of his speeches that I quite enjoy, Borch can do everything perfect, right? They always talked about, Bishop was talking about, like, in Grenada, how come you don't have elections? Or how come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do this? He says, I have two words, Salvador Allende. He did everything correctly. He did everything that they wanted him to do. He ran an election, got elected, built power. He didn't purge, you know, the ranks. He didn't disband the Carabineros. He didn't disband the military. He kept them in power. Literally up until his very last moment, he thought Pinochet was his homie. The day that the Air Force started bombing La Moneda, he's like, oh yeah, me and my head of the military, Pinochet, you know, he's an ally. I'm going to get him here to see what we can do. That motherfucker ended up being, you know, the power behind the throne, behind everything. So again, like, I don't envy Borges' position because it's fucking Chile. It's fucking Chile. And again, the person that we look to, especially in our sort of cadre cohort of like ideological thought, we look at Allende, we look at, you know, that as that's our Chilean miracle, right? And look what happened to him. So, well, it's we'll have to see what takes place, but like I can't stress enough, and something that we've made a point just today is going to come down to this establishment of the new constitution. That is going to be the difference.
Well, the process continues. You know, the process is not going to stop.
Trust the process.
The election was just right. This election, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Austin, was just one part of it. It's one part of an interlocking, continuing process.
Okay. Oh my goodness, a lot of different shit I'd love to say to all of that. The last thing I'll say you said there is that, you know, something I also said at the top is that I feel like this was one of the, once again, this was one of the most important final hurdles, right? Let's keep some perspective, right? Which is they're changing the fucking Constitution.
Yeah.
Holy shit, right? Not only are they changing the Constitution, their president is a fucking Mapuche. Oh my God. Like this, once again, this was the final test that they passed to become a plurinational state in Chile. Like what the fuck? Like this is once again where I say like the importance of keeping perspective, right? This whole conversation of wow, the Chilean state apparatus is, you know, so deeply reactionary, was set up by some of the most worst reactionaries in the hemisphere, literally, right? Henry Kissinger, holy shit, right? All that stuff. So like once again, I relate this back to the Peru conversation, which is like anytime when we were talking about Castillo in Peru, did we at any point say, okay, when he's elected president, that's when everything's going to be perfect and Chile and Peru's not right wing anymore? Fuck no. Right. Hell no. We said the exact opposite. We said, good luck with that Congress, dude. Like the Constitution is going to, like the uphill battle of changing the Constitution in Peru was the most critical point. Whereas here it's the reverse. That's already done, right? They've already got the whole fucking process in motion, right? Like all they needed was to get Santiago, right? To get the presidency. So that way to stop, you know, the final like onslaught from CAST and the far right to destroy this process, right? So once again, keeping perspective, there's two different things to keep in perspective, right? The ongoing constitutional assembly process in Chile, for fuck's sake. And once again, the fact that once again, yes, the Boric presidency is going to be something in its own, you know, essence or whatever the fuck. But once again, like when I look at the Boric presidency, I recognize, okay, this is why I make the Bernie Sanders comparison, right? We talk about the Caribbeaneros. I ask people all the time, okay, so when Bernie is elected president, is he just going to abolish the CIA? Good luck, right? That's not how it works, right? Boric is elected president now. You think he's just going to abolish the Caribbeaneros? Good luck with that one, dude. Like, I would love to see him try, right? And then get a Allende'd. Yeah. That is literally what would happen, right? Just like we would say about like Bernie. If Bernie tried to do like revolutionary change, like getting elected president, really confronting the military industrial complex, his ass would get cooed. I really believe that, right? They would not give a fuck, right? So this is once again why I use the comparison to US-style social democracy, right? This is an objective step forward. But yes, we shouldn't lose sight and think, oh, okay, everything's going to be, you know, perfect in Chile now. No, there's a lot of different layers here. Now, once before I pass you, Leroy, something I must say, right? We're talking about the governing coalition, right? We're talking about Apruebo Dignidad, right? Which, of course, is, you know, itself a coalition of coalitions, right? The Frente Amplio and Chile Digno, which contains the Communist Party of Chile. I am going to say right now something that, once again, might be unpopular for people to hear. From everything I heard from people on the ground in Santiago, because I've seen a lot of this narrative played online or whatever. From everything I heard on the ground in Santiago, if Daniel Jadue had won the primary, he would have lost. That is what everybody on the ground in Santiago tells me, right? That right now, because of the deep right-wing backlash, right, that happened after the Constitutional Assembly, once again, like trying to like push back on the Chilean left or whatever the fuck, if Daniel Jadue was the primary candidate, he would not have won, right? Daniel Jadue is not getting endorsed by Michelle Bachelet, right? Fundamentally, right? So once again, I think it's important to put these sorts of things in perspective, right? The Communist Party of Chile is going to be part of the governing coalition, right? And Boric is going to have to learn how to manage these sorts of relationships. But I think people who try to oversimplify this narrative as, oh, you see, we got the Social Democrat when we could have had the Communist. It is so much more complicated than that.
So you're saying that electoral politics is a, by necessity, a moderating force?
Yes, 1,000,000%. And this is why I throw it back in people's faces when you say that, you know, I'm being the electoralist here. No, I'm the one looking at it soberly, right? People who look at this as, oh, well, what the fuck, right? Why isn't Boric able to do this, that, or the other thing? Well, if you weren't putting all of your fucking eggs in the electoral basket, maybe you wouldn't be looking at shit that way.
Look, I don't know. Unlike you two, I'm a principled Marxist. So I'm going to disregard anything that Boric does because he's not a pure Marxist. So, like, you know, unlike you two guys. Anyway.
Well, all he has to do is flip the socialism switch. He has to go into the president.
That's it. Just press the button.
Yeah, the socialism button.
Yeah. Yeah, and you press the socialism button and boom, it's done, right?
Yeah. Just like in Venezuela, they have the diversify economy button.
Yes.
They just haven't pressed it yet. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, I just want to just quickly, like, we keep talking about the Constitution sort of abstractly, like, oh, you know, we're going to change the Constitution. But I think we should probably address a couple of things that are actually in there that have made Chile what it is today. Like, we talked about the privatization of water, like their entire economy. Like, when we talk about neoliberalism, this was literally the proving ground for the Chicago Boys, for Milton Friedman, for all these people who came in and instituted their vision of free market capitalism, the invisible hand of whatever, blah, blah, blah. That created the Chilean miracle. But the Chilean miracle for who? For fucking capital, for the people at the top. And it actually saw almost a societal collapse at the bottom. You know what I mean? Because what happened in Chile, they privatized all the pension funds and basically floated their entire economy based on that. How, like, I'm not a fucking economist or a financial guy, but like how for decades and decades, the US economy was basically built on top of like, housing and mortgages and loans or whatever, and we saw like the collapse. That's basically what it was regarding pensions in Chile.
Right.
And I've brought up before, the person who is in charge of actually pushing that policy was the brother of Sebastian Piñera. So that's the full circle as well. Another thing is what we talked about it like last year when your boy Andrew was on the show, how in the Constitution they didn't ban political parties, they didn't ban the Communist Party, but they banned any organizing or any party based on class analysis or whatever. That's going to be reversed. The fucking water, like, you're talking about a long ass country like Chile, that's an Andean country who has like water flows from like natural water flows from the top of mountains. They're running out of water because it's fucking privatized. Like, the agricultural sector is collapsing. Like, it's unfathomable, a country that has so much natural water is running out of it because it's fucking privatized. You know what I mean? Those are the shits that like that they're facing in Chile, and that's going to be reversed. And again, like, it's not going to just snap your fingers, you press the button, it's all going to change. But the process has been started. The process to get there, you know, has begun.
And exactly, Leroy. And Cast would have shredded all that shit. This idea that, oh, well, they've already had those constitutional assembly votes. Like, what could Cast have done? Bro, he would not have given a fuck. Like, this is why this is a huge victory, right? This is a massive victory, right? This is, once again, this isn't just a victory for Boric. This is a victory for people power, right? This was people power that made this happen. Cute. I what the fuck did we say when we were first covering the Chilean protests? It's beautiful how their protests were not only spontaneous anger, they had a tangible revolutionary demand attached to it. Change the fucking constitution, right? Like, and I remember at the time, like, what was happening similarly at the time was the Puerto Rico protests. And I remember contrasting it, saying, what's our demand? When the fuck does Ricky Renuncia transform into abolish la junta? It didn't. And look what happened, right? Ricky Renuncia went fucking nowhere, right? If spontaneous anger doesn't have that actual material revolutionary demand attached, that's what the fuck is going to happen. Once again, I don't care who pisses off, right? So one other thing that I will say here, right? As far as like, we're talking about the socialism button, right? And like, people got to remember, right? Base building is such a big part of this, right? I always want to remind people, right? Like, if you think that, oh yeah, Chavez just like tried a coup in Venezuela in 92 and then got elected president in 98 and ha, bro, it's deeper than that. Decades of base building in Venezuela beforehand, right? Decades of community organizing in Venezuela, which, because Venezuela is a very urban society, it took root there in different ways, right? The communists didn't hide in the mountains. They went into the barrios in Venezuela, right? They embedded themselves in community-based organizations, right? And it was decades of base building that made something like Chavez possible, right? So, like, that's such important context to remember here. And, you know, I'm always going to relate shit back to Caracas. So one more thing that we haven't really touched upon here that I will say that I think is important to touch upon, and I made this a point to talk a lot about during, you know, Pedro Castillo, right? And that was something. Boric's, let's say, lackluster foreign policy, right? Boric is very much anti-Maduro foreign policy, right? Let's say that. That is a problem, right? That is not good, right? But once again, I use perspective, right? I also use perspective here, right? I recognize that it's not – this is once again where I lean on the Bernie Sanders example, right? It's not too dissimilar, right? Dealing with a very right-wing political culture, right? That is not to excuse it. That is merely to recognize that just having – a Chile that will not engage in the right-wing bullshit internationally that Piñera was is a huge step forward. It's a huge goddamn step forward, right? So, like, I posted on Twitter something like, oh, did somebody forget to tell Maduro that Boric is a fucking sock damn fraud, right? Because Maduro tweeted out congratulations. Because guess what? It's possible to have nuance and recognize, oh, there's, like, political lines to, like, balance here. And, yeah, let's open my fucking arms up to this fucking guy. And, like, once again, there's a lot of different layers to unpack here. Once again, I think foreign policy absolutely is a litmus test for any leftist government, right? And I'm, you know, I want to see how Boric plans to govern, right? But it should be something that people are keeping an eye on, how he attempts to orient himself toward Venezuela. Because, like, you know, I really don't, like, if I was to get pessimistic here, right? If I was to get pessimistic here, I really don't rule out the possibilities of Boric even attempting to do some, like, Bachelet style, like, peace deal bullshit, right? Now, if he, like, approaches it like the way AMLO has, right? Like, oh, I'm neutral arbiter. Okay, cool, right? But if he tries to approach it in a way that, like, Bachelet has, like, oh my God, all the Maduro regime human rights abuses, that's a fucking problem. But once again, that's, you know, speculative, and we'll see how that develops. But that is something to keep an eye on for me.
No, 100%. And I think this is a good time as any to wrap up. But I will say quickly, like, if you look at, especially when the vote totals came in, if you look at, like, the diaspora totals, overwhelmingly, Boric won, you know, the diaspora around the world, except in two crucial places. China, because of all the Chilean businessmen, and United States, because of the fucking Miami industrial complex. You know what I mean? But Miami strikes again. Bad, very bad day for Miami.
I was about to say, you saw the specific U.S. data, right? Like, he won basically everywhere except Florida, which tipped the whole fucking thing for cast.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild. It was incredible. Fuck Florida. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, so, like, I think the couple of takeaways from this is going to come down to constitutional convention, the type of society that they decide to build. Hopefully it's in that plurinational direction, that 21st century socialist direction that we fucking advocate and push and propagandize on our show here. But we'll see. But things are looking very, very good and very, very hopeful for, now again, not only Chile, but the region and the hemisphere and the planet. But we'll see.
You know, that's an important point to leave on, which is, once again, just as I think back, you know, taking stock in the year, my God, guys, my God, you know, Ecuador, super own goal. God, that sucks. But geez, Peru, Honduras, Chile, all right wing bastions, key buckles in the imperialist belt, right? Yeah. All three of them electing legitimate left-wing candidate. We can talk about, oh my God, this blah, blah, blah. All the people, when they went and voted, they voted for left-wing candidates, all with a pledge to change their country's constitutions. Wow, that's a fucking big deal.
We're gonna win Brazil next year as well.
Yeah, and Colombia.
That's right. There'll be more strikes, there'll be more riots, there'll be more student occupations. All this continues, you know, and there'll be more communist mayors.
Nice. All right. Shout out to Rasley Asler.
Exactly. It starts at the local level, doesn't it? Like leftist dog catchers and shit. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. hopefully we can have a follow-up conversation later on with a comrade who has more insight on the ground, but we'll see how that goes. Ththanks for tuning in. Thanks for staying along with our up and down, you know, schedule, whatever. Y'all the real MVPs and the real comrades. Again, if you support what we do here and want to hear more and support us, you know, to bigger, better projects, so we'd be able to justify to ourselves and our families to dedicate more time to this, consider showing yourself there on our Patreon, patreon.com/machetemate. Anything's appreciated. You'll gain access to our After Dark episodes, the Discord community, the book club that we've just wrapped up within the commune. So we still have to organize, you know, future what's next on the docket. Yeah, we'll probably be in the new year. Just rewinding a little bit to the last one of the last points that Austin made about decades and decades of revolution and building the revolution in Venezuela. Check out We Created Chavez, because they go in a good depth about what went into creating Chavez and creating the Bolivarian Revolution. Couldn't recommend the book anymore. But yeah, with all that said, thanks for tuning in. Great news out of Latin America. Allende vive. And catch y'all next time. Hasta la victoria.
Alegría ya viene, Chile. Peace.
Later, y'all.
Chile.